My knees are touching all three men at the table.
That's how you know you're in the right spot.
Ask yourself, how is the guest touching my knees? You got a long torso.
Hey, I'm reaching Jeff.
You got long
there.
Legs, Jeff.
Long torso.
No, that's the wrong part. Your torso's oh, up.
Yeah. John Michael, oh, long you got torso long... Lucido.
That was my nickname in high school.
You meant...
The lorso.
Nailed it.
The lower torso. Oh, yeah. Howdy, Beatitudes Nation. Welcome to the greatest podcast for Christian men seeking humor and holiness that's ever even been put on the airwaves. I mean, you could go back through history.
Ever.
Hundreds of years.
Yes. Thousands.
Best podcast ever for the things specifically that we're doing. Hey, this is a show for Christian men. And really, it's a chance to come together and make faith accessible by doing what we would do over lunch anyways. But instead
That's
of over lunch, we got the tiniest table.
Yes.
At a real lunch, would we ever sit like this?
Probably
we could
not.
Try it.
My knees are touching all three men at the table.
That's how you know you're in the right spot.
Ask yourself, how is the guest touching my knees? You got a long torso.
Hey, I'm reaching
You
Jeff
got long
there.
Legs, Jeff.
Long torso.
No, that's the wrong part. Your torso's oh, up.
Yeah.
John Michael, oh, long
you got
torso
a long...
Lucido.
That was my nickname in high school.
You meant...
The lorso.
Nailed it.
The lower torso.
Lower
the top torso.
Lorso.
Okay, I'm...
Dr. Jeff.
I am Jeff Shufflebine. I'm joined by Nick Besner.
What's going on?
And Paul Colquitt.
Howdy, howdy.
And Paul, can you believe we booked this guest from Denver? I mean, Denver's starting to hit like top market for all of our guests, but don't you know this guy from way back when?
Yeah, actually, he's a former student of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I taught at Jesuit.
My toughest teacher.
Yeah.
Put me in penance hall every afternoon.
You know, yeah, that's what we call detention at Jesuit.
Penance hall.
Penance hall.
That's how Jesuit works, is we have to rename everything because it's a superior high school experience.
Yes.
I'm going to say you did a great job as a teacher because of all the missionary work that John Michael's been doing since.
You know, I like to think I'm solely responsible for his deeper conversion.
How long did you last teaching at Jesuit,
four
Paul?
Years.
Oh, 4 years.
Yeah,
okay.
I made it another high school round through because I went there for 4 years and then I taught there for 4 years.
They gave you a graduate degree.
Yeah, that's what they should have done, yeah.
Poor John Michael, right when the music started, I said, don't get away from that microphone. And now he won't crick his neck at all. He's using his eyeballs. And now I'm going to show you something. It's called the Batman Rotate.
Yeah,
you just rotate around the mic.
Yeah. You're good. No, but what's fun is that John Michael actually helped me because I was part of the campus ministry leadership there. And so he helped me do what was called the Daily Examine. It's a prayer by St. Ignatius where you stop at different times.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
The voice of God, as my classmates used to say.
Yeah, so midday we would stop and there was this reflection on basically how's the day going? Where is God moving? You know, what
wow.
do I have peace in my heart here? You know, how can I serve the rest of the day? And it was a great break for everybody. I mean, some guys just used it as a snooze
It was
fest.
A 10-minute nap for half of the class.
Yeah. But I mean, that's high school boys, right? But it was a training in let's stop and pray and reflect.
That's cool.
Well, he helped with one, and we did one that was designed to kind of wake people up. And it was a comedy version of it. And
it was just heavy metal music.
No,
wow, big surprise here, Paul. A comedy version.
I know, right? So, shock, surprise, gasp. But yeah, but John Michael delivered it with just totally deadpan at a prayer service that we did one time. And then we explained that this obviously was not the real examine, but what do we do? Where does our mind drift?
Where are the tapes of this?
Yeah.
I totally forgot about
that. Yeah, remember
this.
Ducker Llama?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What?
Well, and the students, you would see them like put their heads down, and we always started with the examine.
Yes.
Which was the alarm to go to sleep. And then it said Ducker Llama, and everyone's eyes just perked right up.
Because that was a meme at the time, which was, it was like some sort of game or something.
It was iPad. It was an iPad game.
iPad game. Yep. That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, you're saying duck or llama.
And you basically just, it was a picture.
Sense.
I was like, in terms of like the Dalai Lama, but the ducker llama, like I don't know what you were spoofing
no,
off
you
of.
Were you were thinking way too deep.
Yeah,
literally
yeah.
The two animals.
Quack or
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it was things like that that we just, so it started kind of serious to lead people to believe that they could get lulled into their, you know, comfort zone. And then
you've been doing this your whole life, Paul.
Oh, it's fun.
This exactly
fun.
Right here. Like,
yes.
Hold on, Jeff. the llama sound. I'm not. Nobody's gonna.
We need a fact checker on that.
Good luck.
Are llamas what you're gonna put in your new barn, in your house?
Yeah, we're not talking about that yet because we don't know what animals are gonna end up there. But there's a couple of stables out there. So.
Paul. I heard Paul needs a place to live.
Yeah.
Paul is a sophisticated animal that requires a lot more than I can provide.
Touche.
Hey, Ducker Llama, Paul.
That's awesome.
Ducker Llama or Paul?
Yeah.
The extended version.
It's the new Beatitudes iPad game.
Yeah, we'll release it, or somebody will create it for us.
And like, you can see things or hear things. You're that's a llama. That's a llama.
Or is it Paul being a llama pretending to be a duck?
Not fair, because you're really good at impersonations.
True.
Hey.
Yeah.
Do you have an impersonation of John Michael Lucido? Is that how I say your last name, Lucido?
In Italian, Lucido.
Oh my goodness, I blew
it. In American, Lucido.
All right, Lucido.
Yeah.
Wait, just I'll do an impersonation of him later in the show.
Okay, let's build up to it. Okay,
yeah, we gotta get
it's
there.
Gonna come out of nowhere. Hey, I have something cool to share. I literally was on the phone with one of our big sponsors. Actually, our longest running sponsor is Solidarity. I was on the phone with them yesterday, and they were like, "We love this. We love the way everything's integrated." Chris Faddis had been on the show.
Yep.
And I said, "I wish y'all could hear what happens in between takes when Nick and Paul just lay it on, making fun of my commercial." And so I said, "I want you to hear Paul's impersonation of Jeff talking about Solidarity. Do you have it ready, or is I catching you off guard?"
Solidarity is an affordable option. When me and my family were setting out to find an option that would serve our needs, we found Solidarity.
That's how I talk at lunch.
It's like the breathiest version of Jeff talking that you could ever find.
That must have been the day I got sleep.
Oh, that's what it was. You were rested.
I could breathe deeply.
Yeah, that's it. You didn't have a child in the hospital at that time.
Amen.
Yeah. Which is why I need Solidarity.
That was awesome. That was perfect.
Oh, wow.
So John Michael shows up. We've never shook hands before, right? We're LinkedIn official,
digitally.
But now it's
digitally shaking hands.
Yeah.
We have this thing going on LinkedIn, but I respect you a lot. But you show up and I give you a hug. He was with America. America's a woman, works with us here in the office. He was with America right at the coffee. I hug him and I go, "Who's your dad?"
Do you want me to say you?
who's your dad daddy? And what does he do?
Has he ever been on the Beatitudes?
Well, it's funny because I told Jeff I wasn't a listener, but I binged. Listened this week.
Oh, awesome.
That's all we asked.
Awesome.
And he hugged me, and I was thinking about the episode where you were talking about how you hugged President Sanford over at UD. And I was like, I guess Jeff just intros people really weirdly. Yeah. He either hugs you when you don't need to be hugged, or he walks up and asks who your dad is the first thing.
Or both.
Which both happened. You're
well,
right.
Well, so we like to say Jeff's motto is surprise and delight, which boils down to surprise others to delight himself.
Correct.
True.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
It's a psychopathic tendency.
There's two things I have to say right now. One, somebody said, "How is unpacking going at your house?" And I said, "I'm maniacal about it." 10 minutes later, my wife walks up and they said, "How's the unpacking going?" And she goes, "I would describe Jeff as maniacal." So I think that's a positive.
Yeah, y'all are on the same wavelength.
Second thing, I was at this event on Saturday night and I meet Ashton Ellis from the University of Dallas. He's the new person. That I heard about his 10th child and hugged JJ.
Oh, yeah.
So I said to him and his wife, I said, "I know you're pregnant." And she was like, "Okay." And I said, "And I've hugged JJ about it." Like, it was a surprise and delight for sure.
Did they even talk about it multiple times on our podcast.
They had no idea what I was talking about.
Have they made this pregnancy announcement public, or are you just telling all the
I
listeners?
I did.
Okay. Surprise and delight.
Yay. Wait, who's your dad?
Lawrence Michael Lucido Jr.
Goes by Michael.
Goes by Michael.
Lucido is how I say
Lucido.
It.
Lucido.
Lucido.
Lucido. Come no,
I know your dad because he's a very involved part of all the different ministries around town. Like
that's
what
right.
you were raised by a good stock.
Yeah, great family. It really goes back to my grandparents. So we're going to do a show here later on Guadalupe Radio Network,
that's
and
right.
I was going to tell you that my grandfather was one of the charter members of Guadalupe Radio Network.
No Whoa. Way.
And I
guess
I texted,
what? When you say it on live air, we'll act like we never heard it before.
Yeah. I texted my dad to get the story, so I'll share with you guys later.
Sweetness. Way to go.
But my grandfather's the youngest of 14.
Whoa.
His mother passed away in childbirth of him.
Wow.
And they were strawberry farmers in Independence, Louisiana. And so right away, I mean, Italian immigrants, no money, poor, no mother, 14 kids. And I think my life is hard.
Yeah, no kidding.
And, you know, walk uphill both ways, the whole nine. Catholic, you know, raised in Italy, so they had that traditional bent towards the faith. But then he went to fight in Korea. And when he was 18, joined the Marines, was sent to Korea, and got his left leg blown off by a landmine as they were taking a hill in Korea. And so loses his left leg and comes back to the States, San Diego, California, at the Marine Hospital there with the big ship right next to the bay, mm-hmm. if you guys have ever visited. And ended up meeting my grandmother there in the hospital. She was a nurse. And every day at noon, she would leave when the bells would ring. And my grandfather was always curious, you know, is there a lunch bell? Am I missing a meal here? Is there something no one's telling me? And she was going to the Angelus and then to daily mass. And so to follow her, like all great Catholic men convert because of a good woman, ended up going back to mass, coming back to faith, wrestling with God about, you know, the suffering and injury. And they got engaged, married, moved to Dallas, had six kids of their own, my dad being one of them. My dad is the junior. My grandfather's obviously senior. I skipped the Lawrence Michael Lucido, which is how I got my name, John Michael. But we just had our baby boy 2 months ago, and he's Lawrence Michael Lucido III.
Yes.
We're calling him Trip after the great
cool.
patriarchy of the family. And just a shout out to, you know, we stand on the shoulders of all the great people who've come before us in the Catholic faith, in business and work and family life. And so for me and my family, naming our son that was a shout out to, we are here because of our family. And I've been very blessed. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Awesome. Yep. You know, it's almost funny. Like, it's so easy to be like, oh, look at all these great things I've done. Yo, look at what your grandfather
did.
Oh,
it's amazing.
So that we could be here.
That generation. Right. He's been, he just retired. He was a permanent deacon at St. Monica Catholic Church here in Dallas for 25 years.
Wow.
And, everyone knew him because he would limp up the altar because he's had a prosthetic leg. And quick funny story, because I know this is humor and holiness, but when we were kids, we would play hide and go seek in my grandparents' house, and we had a third cousin. And the third cousin never came over because he's a third cousin. You don't really know who he is, but he shows up.
Oh, it wasn't the number three one. He's like literally like...
Like actually the
not
third
a first cousin.
Cousin.
If I were
it's
to pull
like
up
my
ancestry.
Grandpa's brother's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're playing hide and go seek. And he hides in my grandparents' closet. And my grandpa has multiple prosthetic legs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And he also owns a few guns. And so he opens the closet and he sees a gun hanging up and a prosthetic leg like falling out of the closet.
Yes.
And he runs out and screams to my whole family, which is a big family, Grandpa Larry killed somebody. So, anyways.
That's
phenomenal.
Awesome.
All right. Like, what an incredible start to life John Michael gets when you were born back in the year of 1996.
Six. Yeah, bringing down the average age in here.
Wow.
I am going to go have my snack break now.
With Metamucil, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
My doctor said Mylanta. I don't even know what Mylanta does. Is that heartburn?
Probably.
Okay. So, 96, I was finishing up high school. I was a vigilante in 96. You were an infant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good to be here with you. How does this journey progress for you? Because we know, and we haven't said this at all yet, but that you're a big part of the Focus apostolate and organization nationwide, bringing college students to Christ through college missionary work. But
that's right.
Walk us through this. I mean, obviously, you're local, or else you would have not been taught by Professor Colker
right.
here.
Well, and real quick, just for people who don't know what Focus
oh,
is,
yeah.
What does it stand for?
Absolutely.
Mission, all that?
Yeah, so Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. we are kind of trying to rebrand actually a little bit to just focus Catholic.
Oh, cool.
Because we now have missionaries serving in 30 parishes in the United States. So we have missionaries on 200 college campuses. 190 of those are here domestically. And then we have 9 campuses in Europe. And then 2 years ago, we put our first missionary team down in Monterrey, Mexico. So we're sending American-born missionaries to serve overseas college campuses in Europe and Mexico now. But what's happening at the parish level has been really neat, too, because we're taking, you know, this vision of discipleship, which is kind of the bread and butter of Focus evangelization, this incarnational discipleship with students, sharing life, sharing the gospel, and then leading them to lead others. And now we're taking that to the parish model as well. Mm-hmm. So there's really cool stuff happening, dioceses across the country, both on the college level and parish level, and I'm just really excited, blessed to be a part of it.
John Michael, there's more, though, and I didn't know this until it just kind of sprung on me. 2-3 summers ago, we go to some fancy resort in Colorado, and they're touring us around, and this guy, he's like looking at my gaggle of kids behind me, like kind of, I'm yelling at them to come back, and he goes, wait, what are their names? And I said, Lorelai, Amelia, Pax, Ambrose, Benedict. And
you're,
he goes,
Mormon, aren't you?
The guy goes, Pax, Ambrose, Benedict? I'm Catholic. Like, that's what comes out of this guy's
that's
mouth.
Awesome.
And I said, I never told you I was, but yes.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And he goes, you know Focus, right? And I said, yeah. And it was like a Focus putting people in
that's
resorts.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was the coolest thing.
We've built out this program recently called Focus Summer Projects. And what it is we take college kids who need to make money over the summer because they're broke and they're in college. And we contract with resort locations. So this summer we had 10 different resort locations, Big Sky, Montana. I don't know if you were in Estes or the Broadmoor. Charleston, South Carolina, Sea Island, Georgia. And they work at the resort. And so they get paid, they do seasonal jobs. But then while they're there, they get discipleship training from our missionary staff. So we have probably 10 missionary staff that are at the resort for 10 weeks over the summer. And they're teaching them about discipleship, Bible study, how to lead others in the faith. And these resorts have tons of seasonal workers. And so the students actually get to practice evangelization with the other seasonal workers.
Mm.
And so I got to visit our Big Sky, Montana location, and I gave a talk at our Big Sky location. There was 10 people who came to my talk who were seasonal workers who weren't Catholic, but who were invited by the students
Amazing.
Who were working these seasonal jobs. So the whole idea is to send them back to their college campus ready to go.
It's funny, after that, everybody who did anything for us that looked young, I was like, where do you go to college? And they would say, Xavier or whatever. And I'd be like, cool, do you know Focus? Like, yeah, that's how I'm here. I'm
right.
like, cool. So like, we just started like creating this little community
that's
within
awesome.
A community for a couple of days. And if, especially at the Broadmoor, if you think that it would help to have the Beatitudes there for that 10 weeks, just from a discipleship standpoint,
yeah.
this table is, it's actually portable. We can take it with
we
us.
We have packed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Moved it. Yeah. Just for what it's worth.
Putting it out there. Okay, so back to John Michael. you went to a really great college, didn't you?
The best.
Yeah, go on.
Richland County Community College. Is that what you're talking about? So
RCC.
It's the Thunder Duck Nation.
Oh, do that sound. It's the Thunder Duck.
The sad part was, and I'll get to why we're talking about community college in a second, is their basketball gym wasn't called the Thunderdome. And I was like, that is the biggest mistake of all time. You're
miss.
The Thunder Ducks.
Yeah.
Anyways. So here's why we're talking about community
Let's
college. So I go to Jesuit. I graduate. Mr. Colker somehow signed me off to pass his... What did you teach me?
Was it? I want to say it was pre-cal.
Pre-cal. You're right.
Pre-cal?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awful.
Great job, Paul.
No, it was that or Algebra 2. It was one of those.
It was a math.
I don't remember it because it was math.
Math.
So I graduate, and Texas A&M was always my dream school. Big fan. Was in high school during the Johnny Manziel era, which was the best time to be a high school student because Johnny was the ultimate guy that a high schooler loved, the money sign and all that stuff. So I got into A&M, really excited. And, you know, my whole life up to that point, we talked about my family a lot at the beginning of the podcast, and I loved my family, but I felt like I always had to be someone. I was always a Lucido before I was John Michael.
Mm.
I was always Michael's son before I was my own person.
Mm.
And I remember at Jesuit and just growing up, my dad was a really successful athlete, played college athletics, was an All-American at the college level. And I just wanted to be a winner. Mm. I wanted to be successful. And so when I got to A&M, I was like, this is my chance. I did well at Jesuit, very involved, you know, got all the awards, graduated towards the top of my class, get to A&M, and that's what I want to do. And so I join a fraternity. I get very involved on campus. I'm doing all the, you know, student body events and even ran for some leadership positions very early on in student government. But here was the issue, is that right away, it was all about me. And I just wanted everyone to like me. The big man on campus idea, that was my goal. And the worst part was it worked. Me and my buddy had a competition to see how many sorority date parties we could go to. And the proof was how many t-shirts you got. And so at the end of each semester, we would show each other how many sorority t-shirts we got as the proof of here's my resume. And that was my whole freshman year. And the problem when you have a social GPA of a 4.0 is that you have an academic GPA of a 0.7, which is awful because there's blood alcohol levels higher than my GPA at Texas A&M.
Well said.
Yep.
And unfortunately, my own at certain points. And so that was my freshman year, is this living this life of, what do people want me to do? I'll do it. Yeah. What do you want me to drink? I'll drink it. What do you want me to do with you late in the evening? If you're a woman, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. And unfortunately, God was absent from that picture. And so someone who've received everything, great family, grandpa's a deacon, great Catholic education, dad's leading us in prayer every Sunday night, it stood as nothing compared to the things of the world. They were sexy, they were attractive, they were beautiful, they were shiny, and I wanted them. Yeah. And I ended up getting kicked out of Texas A&M after my freshman year of college. So I got caught cheating in a business class, and the university came and said, we'd like for you to leave. And so I moved back here to Dallas, and I'm 19 years old, rock bottom, went to Jesuit, successful family. You don't drop out of college. And now I'm a college dropout. And was just at the pit, the bottom, you know, everyone has a rock bottom moment. Some people's look different. Sure. That was mine.
Sure.
And that's when I started going to Richland County Community College to drop back.
Dude, I thought I was setting you up for an A&M story. I set you up for the greatest, like, vulnerable testimony.
Yeah.
For all of us. I mean, I don't know a man listening to this that doesn't have some part of their life where they feel that same pull of they're not being themselves because they're trying to be something that pleases people, that is the big man on campus. Mm-hmm. I mean, guilty, guilty, guilty. Thank you for sharing that. So you go to the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Not really.
Thunder Ducks.
The Thunder Duck.
No, and I appreciate you saying that, Jeff, because I think that I see that as a merciful experience of mm-hmm. God. Because I see men now in my life who, for some reason, didn't have that experience early, and now they're dealing with the consequences of that behavior 20 years down the road in their marriage, in their work, in their family life. And, you know, by the grace of God, I hit rock bottom, and there was someone there who was ready to catch me. And his name was John. He worked for Focus. He was a missionary at Texas A&M. I met him shortly before I flunked out of school. We got into a beautiful friendship, and I would tell him just the nastiest, most horrible things I had done. And instead of slapping me or shaming me, he received me and said, I love you, man. That's okay. Can I help you with that? Can we continue to talk about these things? And when I flunked out of A&M, even better, he kept up with me. And that's really what did it. Powerful. Is I'm not a project to this guy. Yeah. I'm not a stat on his data sheet. I'm a person. And so he would call me, and we'd just talk on the phone and catch up. And that's where things began to change, because he would invite me back to the faith that I was raised with. And that experience was like a lighter on a Kindle, a bunch of kindling and sticks that had been sitting there through catechesis and formation and Catholic elementary school and great family. It just needed that flame, that conversion moment. And so when that flame went on, all the kindling was ready, and it exploded into a bonfire. Mm. and my life was transformed in a powerful way through that experience, and ended up going back to Texas A&M. My wife was a strong evangelical Protestant. I love our Protestant brothers and sisters. They've taught me a lot. And she met a mutual friend of ours, Jeff Jordan Gardenhire, now Storch. They were in sorority life together.
You said Jeff Jordan, but then Jeff was me. Then you said Jordan. I'm with you. Jordan Gardenhire,
that's
Storch.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Yep.
And Jordan shared with my wife about the Catholic faith. My wife went in trying to convert Jordan away from the Catholic faith and ended up in RCIA to become Catholic 6 months later. And so we got engaged at the back end of college, and just felt like we needed to give back to the college campus through the ways we had received through friendship. And so at 22 years old, we got married and became married missionaries together.
Love it.
And were sent to the University of Kansas to start our marriage, start our ministry, and start our family life.
Rock chalk.
Rock chalk. Basketball capital of the world.
The overlaps in our life continue, and we'll get to that. Maybe we'll do that one on the live radio show, too. But the woman who left the Sisters of Life during her novitiate years to get into family life and discern that and ended up living in my house is also close to you from the KU
Absolutely.
Days.
Yeah. Yeah, Catherine. Wonderful, wonderful woman.
Changed my life and has been such a blessing to us. Hey, we're close to the midpoint, so we're going to play a little game with you.
Let's go.
But,
man, I've been waiting for.
You've been pouring it on for men and women, but especially men. We need it. We need the vulnerability. So thank you. Now we're going to get vulnerability with you.
The game is called Blessed Are the Joke Makers, for they shall inherit the points. 96 points for birth year.
Yeah. Wow.
Class of 96.
Class of 96. There you go.
And so we have a Catholic card game card and a character card, and we have to answer the Catholic card game prompt. So it can be a fill-in-the-blank question, something as the character, and typically this is kind of a broad category.
Paul, did you know somebody today bought the Catholic card game online?
Yeah.
Using our link in the show notes that I will put back in there.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you can buy it. We'll get $2.
All right. So here we go. Maybe. As TMI, or someone who overshares personal info, a lesser-known Bible story is about blank.
You know, there's this lesser-known Bible story about Mary Magdalene and all the different cities she was going to, and the t-shirts she'd come back with from Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Caesarea. And she would come back and show all people the t-shirts, and she made a quilt out of them from all of her escapades. I actually feel bad about that one. TMI.
A lesser-known story in the Bible is about how Lazarus actually experienced a lot of the decay when he was in the tomb. Surely there will be a stench, and well, there was, and when he woke up, he actually had to experience a lot of that, and it was all healing up, but he was awake for a lot of that, and so he got to see his flesh actually kind of coming back together, and the maggots leaving, and it was pretty gross.
Too much information, man.
Do you want me to keep going? Because I can drill down.
A lesser-known Bible study, Bible story, is really from the time of Exodus, and everybody, of course, knows how Moses parted the Red Sea, and they were able to get through. But what's not really told how so often is how all of the when they made it through the Red Sea and on the other side, the golden calf and all that. But people forget how much fun they were having out there, and it's really not told. We got to cut this. I don't know.
It was too much information.
It was too much information.
All right, John Michael, what say ye? Who wins?
Well, based on the reality of Jeff throwing Mary Magdalene under the bus and Nick saying Barbie story instead of Bible story, we're going with Paul.
Yeah!
Digging himself a hole there.
All right, Paul, great job. John Michael,
thank
for
you,
being our
you.
Celebrity guest judge today, you're going to get a pair of socks from SockReligious.com,
wow,
the San Damiano socks. These are available to all Beatitudes by going to SockReligious.com/Beatitudes for a 10% discount. Do you have those socks yet?
I have a bunch of SockReligious socks, but not these.
That's what we were feeling. Hey, we're going to be right back with the Beatitudes question of the day and some killer reverse Simpsons. Stick around. We'll see you in a minute. Hey, y'all. This is Jeff Shuffelbein. When Nick and I set out to start our new company, Undivided Life, we were really concerned about how would we cover the healthcare needs of our growing families. And we were so excited to find a company that fit both our medical needs and our faith beliefs perfectly. It's called Solidarity Healthshare. It is an ethical alternative to traditional health insurance. We're never part of sharing in the medical costs of anything that goes against the teachings of the Catholic Church, making it a great alternative for Catholics and Christians alike. Solidarity is very affordable, which is perfect for a large family or for a new and growing business like the one we've started. So visit joinsolidarity.com today so that you can get started with us.
The team at Aquinas Wealth Advisors believes that good values and good returns are not mutually exclusive. Using a tech-smart and morally sound approach, they provide investment alternatives that align with Catholic teachings without sacrificing returns. These days, faith-driven investors are finding it hard to know where their money is going. They have no visibility into what their dollars are supporting, but there's a better way. Thanks to the Faith and Finance Score from Aquinas Wealth Advisors, you can look into your current holdings to see what you're supporting and make a switch to an advisor that aligns with your values and gives power to your voice. Check out AquinasWealth.com today.
Hi, it's Paul Kolker from the Beatitudes here, and I just wanted to share with you guys that I also, outside of the show, perform improv comedy on a regular basis with a group called Divine Comedy. So what we do is we come up with everything on the spot, so whether you're looking for faith-filled, fun, family-friendly comedy for your youth night, or whether you're looking for clean comedy for your corporate event, Divine Comedy can perform for your group and even get you in on the action. So if you'd like to hire us to come out and perform for your next event, check out DivineComedyImprov.com. Divine Comedy, an inferno of fun.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with John Michael Lucido.
Molto bene.
I'm learning so much Italian by being a Beatitude. Buongiorno. Anyways, one of the things you mentioned in the first segment there, talking about building the kindling and bonfire and like all you need is that spark. Right. Maybe can you give us a quick story, maybe sometime that you've seen that spark kind of come alive for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned when I was a missionary at the University of Kansas with my wife, and we had our first two children there at KU. But I got to work a lot with fraternity guys and athletes, Division I athletes, which is super fun. And I worked with a young man named Grant, who was on the KU golf team. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Kansas.
Amazing.
Youngest person ever to win the Kansas Amateur. Wow. And top recruit going to KU. I mean,
wow.
And went to Catholic high school. And I met him his sophomore year of college. And he was a D1 athlete. He had high scholarship. It was during the invention of NIL, so he was starting to make money. But the thing was, he was playing awfully. This was a guy who shot 69, 70 every day and could barely break 90. He was just so in his head. And he was in his head because he felt all this pressure to perform at a high level. People told him, you're going to be on the tour in 3 years. You're going to be the next Gary Woodland, who is a well-known KU golfer. And it got in his head. And he started living out of this place of, I have to perform, I have to put it on, I have to put on this front for coaches, scouts, sponsors, and he just fell apart. And so I met him kind of at this moment where he was at a crossroads. And we got to know each other, and I began to share my story with him. I felt like we could connect. I was a horrible golfer, but I could understand his story. And when he started understanding that God is not a God who wants us to perform for him, but God is a God who, as it says in the epistles, that when we are weak, then he wants to come in and give us power. And Grant had been putting it all on himself to perform. And the crazy thing was, even after he started this relationship with God, coming back to the faith, he still didn't play well, which I think is a cool reality. Sometimes God doesn't want us to just be successful. He just wants us, period. And I think that was powerful for Grant. And that relationship with God just it brought, once again, all that catechesis he received and lit him on fire. I got to hang out with him a few weeks ago, married a beautiful girl, doing well, staying faithful. He's in a men's group with a bunch of 60-year-old men from his parish.
No way.
He's 24, leading a men's group for a bunch of 60-year-olds. It's awesome.
I love it. Well, listen, I don't know. There's something about all this, like, coming into our faith, coming back to our faith. It made us think of the question of the day for all four of us for TBD, the Beatitudes question of the day. And this one is actually going to be taking you back to the sacrament of First Communion. For most of us, that was a while back. Yep. The question is simply, and we'd love for you to play along at home, share in the notes, what is something that you recall from your First Communion? I actually was just going through this question with my daughter. She's 8, and we're going through sac prep right now.
Awesome.
And she was like, what do you remember? And I said, the first thing I remember is that I had on a short sleeve, shiny blue shirt and a tie. Mm. And I probably looked like a used car dealer, like with white pants. Like I looked like I was selling cars in Miami or something.
You want a Kia Rio?
Yeah. But I think the thing I remember the most just is like a strange kind of thing to recall is I thought that the consecrated host tasted terrible, and I didn't know what to expect.
Yep.
And it was like this dry. I'm like, whoa, what was this supposed to be? You know,
Hawaiian bread.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to taste like that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like it's such an acquired thing because then it's like you crave that taste because it's so unique. But I can remember being like, what do I do to get through this part? So
where's the hummus?
Yeah. What about y'all?
Dip it.
Dip it. Yeah.
It'd be my dad's mom made my jacket, like suit jacket, white jacket.
That's awesome.
We all had, all the boys, black pants, white jackets, black ties, like very, and then all the girls, of course, in their little white dresses. And we got to sit, I remember we got to sit in the front two pews, just us, like just the communicants.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And to like be the first one to go that day was special because normally our home church, like the outside pews go first and then the middle, but we got to go first because it was a special day.
That's awesome.
What about you, Paul?
I remember the lead up to it because they had us go to confession first. So we had to experience first confession and everything. And you know, it just seemed like a normal, so I went to St. Luke and Irving and it was like a normal sort of trip to the church. It was like a field trip sort of deal in religion. And, yeah, I remember going to confession and that being kind of weird, but kind of not uncomfortable. I just was like, okay, I'll say these things. Well, I didn't know my lifelong, you know, struggle with scrupulosity was going to kick in that day because I left and I was like, oh, I forgot something. And so then,
shame.
So then I wanted to go back in line, but then when I got back in line, it was like all my friends were like, he's already going back.
It was a rough 2 minutes.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I just forgot something. But yeah, it was the weirdest moment of trying to figure out, well, how does all this work? I'm just trying to make sure I checked everything off the list.
That's wild. Yeah. What an insight, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I honestly, the only thing I remember from kind of First Communion, First Confession, was just being shocked that they let everyone drink after each other because they would always talk about, like, you know, segregated germs and don't drink after the water fountain, don't share food. But all of a sudden, let's have all 100 people drink out of the exact same cup and we're going to wipe it down with a linen cloth that who knows if it's doing anything. That was my thought.
I love it. Well, and it's funny you get into the mind of an 8 or 9 year old.
I also just remember the party afterwards. So my cousin was my same age, and so we had a big like joint family party at their house afterwards, and it was like perfect day in May and, you know, brisket on the smoker and like just like that family party on a beautiful day.
I
was
bet
awesome.
Given my age and y'all's age, we all probably got the same gift later, which mine was the jam box that has two different cassettes so you can dub back and forth. Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You know,
I got an iPod for my first communion.
I got a computer that could go to the moon.
Weirdly, I got an 8-track player.
They're taking you old school. Oh, I love it. Hey, so I've designed a little game for our Reverse Simpsons. John Michael, you binge. You know, we finish every Monday episode differently than every other. Yep. So this is a episode where each one of you can get 10 points for getting this correct. You're competing against each other.
Right.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to
play,
be,
right?
Yes. Wonderful. I'm going to be spelling a word, but I'm going to do it in a very unique way. The word could be tied to today's show, to the faith, to me, to whatever. I'm going to give you the first letter, then the last letter, then the second letter, then the second to the last letter. I'm going to be spelling a word from outside in. Mm. I've never done this before. I bet it's hard. Yeah. 10 points each. Don't hold back. You don't have one guess. You have many guesses. Try to be respectful in talking over each other. Are we ready? Do you understand the points and the way this works?
Yep.
Okay. First one, it's actually two words. I'm just going to start off harder. So I'm going to do the first letter of the first word, the last letter of the last word, to work my way towards the middle. I'll even tell you when there's a gap.
Copy that.
M. G. A. R. R. U. K. B. Space. This is so hard. Why did I start with this?
Was it Mark?
So the first word, I just spelled it, is Mark. L. W. A. I've just now spelled the whole last word. Mark.
Wahlberg.
Yes.
Oh. This is hard, but I love it.
I think this is a trip. I went for the hardest one I had.
Yeah.
Just to see how it starts.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Trial by fire.
Here's another hard one. J. S. E. U. S.
Jesus.
I was still on the fact. I thought that was two words, and I was like trying to put it together.
There was only one that had two words. So 10 points for Paul. Okay. Gosh, I don't even know if I know how to spell things right. Okay.
That's going to make this a hard game, Jeff.
You got to get in my head.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one. E. E. X. N. A. I. M.
Examine?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Wow. His brain is like popping.
That's insane.
This is,
that's pretty impressive.
Wow.
Of course, I did spell the whole word.
Did you do spelling bees or anything growing up?
I always won.
Yeah.
Well, you're from a small town, so.
Yeah, but I did it.
Regionally.
Regional.
Correct.
Yeah. It's weird, though. They also did it left to right, if I'm not mistaken.
Usually.
Yeah. Unless it was.
That's why he's so good at this game.
This is the outside in spelling bee. All right. Two more, and then we'll have a final one. Here it goes. This has got – I should tell you this. This one has maybe about seven or eight letters in it, somewhere around there.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Okay. S-T-A-N-C.
Sanctify?
No. Close.
Nope.
Sacrament.
Yep. I said close.
No, well, because you said it ended in T. And
it was good.
Yeah.
Sanctify.
Yeah, that's it.
I just had saint.
All right, next one, five letters. C, S, R.
Christ.
G.
Nope.
O.
Cross.
O.
Wait, I missed the letters.
What?
Crogs.
Clogs.
We're giving it to John Michael.
Crogs
is a form of Russian wooden shoe that's never been made before, but they do make them for the Beatitudes. I'm not even sure where they're made.
Do you want to put one on camera? I know where they're made.
We're going to do it on the next show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we're going to wrap up with this final one here. This is the last one. This is six letters. I think I'm spelling this right. L O U.
Lucido.
Yeah!
Come on! Lucido!
Insider info, not fair.
We got it. All right, folks, this has been the Beatitudes. We're here with John Michael Lucido. Come back for the bonus show on Friday. We're going to be talking about some family stuff, and we really just appreciate you, your witness, your testimony, your vulnerability, and your brotherhood. And Paul puts you on the right path.
That's right.
From the very beginning.
From pre-cal to
come on.
Focus.
There derivatives. You go. Stay focused. And he's like, all I heard was focus. So
stay focused up.
Derivatives of evangelization.
That's it.
All right, so we will see you all in the next math class from Paul Kolker. And for the rest of you, we will
see you in the Eucharist.
God bless us.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and two on your keyboard, at the _ Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.